Hi, and welcome to Let's Talk Safety. I'm your host, Dylan Sutherland from Protector Safety Gear. Throughout this series, we'll be interviewing industry experts to provide our audience with valuable insights on various categories of PPE. Topics will range from selection and standards to maintenance and care. This should ultimately assist you in selecting fit-for-purpose safety solutions for your site. From these discussions, we will create resources such as Toolbox Talk downloads and blogs, all of which will be available on our website, www.protector.co.za, for download. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Safety. Today, we're sitting with Farhan Montenegro, and she's from a company called Brady, which is slightly different to our regular conversations, where we talk about safety and PPE. Today is still about safety, but it's more about operational safety and site, almost preventing the site from being able to endanger the user. So it won't be the regular PPE that we would wear, but rather product that we would use to prevent any injury or death, hence linking still to the topic of safety. Farah's from a company called Brady, who's a multinational company. She sits in the Middle East, and I'm going to ask Farah if you can please just take us through your career with Brady and up to your current role where you reside in the UAE.
Yes, thank you. And I'm excited to share my journey with you. As the local product expert for the Middle East and Africa regions based in Dubai, I've worked with Brady for 17 years. And my academic road, which includes a bachelor's degree in international business, a NIBOSH certification, and a master's degree in applied psychology, which I'm currently halfway through, has been instrumental in shaping my practical approach to our field. And over the past 14 years, I've been deeply involved in conducting comprehensive site surveys. And these site surveys have focused on critical areas such as lookout tagout, hazard identification, safety signs, area marking, spill control. And this hands-on experience has honed my practical knowledge and skills in safety practices.
Fantastic. So Protector sees Brady as a company that offers solutions that are specific to risks and designed for the long term. How do you view Brady as a fit-for-purpose company?
Brady was established in 1914, meaning it's 110 years old. It's a leader in safety identification, workplace, and compliance solutions. We collaborate with end users to improve safety by identifying potential hazards and helping mitigate these risks. Take, for example, lookout tagout. These devices are engineered to prevent accidents and ensure a safer workplace. Brady's dedication to quality ensures that devices are built for long-term durability, helping businesses maintain high safety standards without frequent replacements, translating into significant cost savings. The device's construction from industrial-grade steel, high-impact thermoplastics, and weather-resistant materials ensure durability and ease of use. They allow workers to isolate hazardous energy sources effectively with minimal effort.
Fantastic. And what drives you to work at Brady?
Brady fosters a collaborative and inclusive culture, working in an environment where teamwork, integrity, and respect are prioritized. It makes it a place where I'm valued and excited to contribute my talent and ideas, also because of their global impact. Brady solutions are used worldwide across various industries, from manufacturing to healthcare, even space. And these contributions make us part of a larger mission and inspire me to be part of a globally impactful company. Allow me to share some interesting facts. Brady's labels are used in approximately 70% of all commercial airplanes. Brady has been deeply involved in significant space projects, including the pioneering SpaceX and the historic Gemini project. Gemini was the second human spaceflight program developing space travel techniques to support the Apollo mission to land astronauts on the moon. And these achievements in space exploration are a source of excitement and pride for all of us, I'm afraid.
Awesome. So a lot of our listeners and audience are responsible for the safety on sites. Why is lockout tagout of such importance for the audiences or for the people that they keep safe on site?
Lotto is all about preventing accidental energization of machinery during maintenance or servicing. Imagine working on a machine and it suddenly powers up. That's a nightmare scenario that Lotto is designed to prevent. Lotto keeps our hardworking folks safe from unexpected startups, electrical shocks, and other mechanical hazards by ensuring machines are properly shut off and locked out. Now, why should you care? That's simple. Implementing Lotto procedures can significantly reduce workplace accidents and injuries. It's not just about following rules. It's about sending everyone home safe at the end of the day. When machines are de-energized and cannot be accidentally started, the risk of serious injury drops dramatically. So implementing Lotto also shows a commitment to your team's well-being, which boosts morale and productivity. Workers are more likely to engage fully in their tasks when they know their safety has been taken seriously. And let's remember the practical side. Preventing accidents also means less downtime. No one wants to hold production to deal with an accident investigation or repaired damaged equipment.
Yeah, absolutely spot on. What would the risk be if we do not appropriately lock out, I mean, on site?
Yes, failure to adhere to Lotto procedures when operating machinery and equipment can lead to severe consequences. And in the absence of proper Lotto, workers are vulnerable to unexpected machine startups or the release of hazardous energy, which can result in life-altering injuries such as amputations, electric shocks, burns, or worse. Regular safety incidents can profoundly affect employee morale as workers may feel unsafe and undervalued. This can lead to decrease in productivity and an increase in turnover rates. And moreover, companies that fail to implement proper Lotto procedures risk damaging their reputation, which can negatively impact the relationship with clients, investors, and wider community.
So let's try and see lockout tagout as a bigger picture because we've got audiences that are in such different industries. What kind of energies should be considered to be locked out?
When it comes to locking out energies in the workplace, we're talking about ensuring safety by controlling hazardous energy sources during maintenance and repair work. We have electrical energy. This includes anything powered by electricity, like machinery or wiring. And before working on electrical equipment, it must be disconnected and locked out to prevent accidental startup. Mechanical energy, think about moving parts like gears, belts, or blades, and these components must be immobilized. Mechanical engineer, think of moving parts like gears, belts, or blades. These components must be immobilized to avoid unexpected movement that could cause injury. Heat sources, including Furnaces or heated fluids must be cooled down and isolated to prevent burns or fire. Another example, chemical energy. This involves hazardous substances like acids or gases. Proper isolation and lockout prevents leaks or reactions during maintenance. And there is more, but this is to name a few.
Fantastic. So it's clear that there's a lot of different styles and types of energy. And obviously, the audience need to consider whatever energies might be active and live in their specific workplace. How do we make sure that there is no energy in the work area?
Ensuring no energy remains in a system during maintenance involves critical load of procedures. It's a checklist before you begin. First, you prepare for shutdown. You identify all energy sources, inform all affected employees about the shutdown to ensure everyone's safety. Shut down the equipment using the standard stopping procedures. Then you disconnect and isolate all energy sources by switching off breakers, closing valves, or disconnected power lines. You apply your lockout devices to energy sources, ensuring the equipment cannot be turned on. And then the next step is using a warning tag. The energy disconnection point marked by a tag must not be operated until the tag has been removed. After that, safely release any residual or stored energy, such as bleeding off pressure from hydraulic systems or securing moving parts. And the last step of a LOTA procedure describes testing whether the energy supply has been stopped. Verify isolation by attempting to start the equipment. And if it doesn't start, then lockout is successful. Some companies call the whole process LOTOTO, lockout, tagout, tryout. Then you conduct maintenance work with all energy sources securely locked out. After maintenance, the devices can be removed. You inform everyone that maintenance is complete and the equipment is ready. You reconnect energy sources and ensure the machinery is safe and operational before use. And finally, following these steps, ensure a safe, energy-free environment for maintenance and repairs.
This is obviously a critical practice, and it's there to make sure that nobody gets injured because we haven't appropriately de-energized whatever the system is being worked on. How do we make this practical, though? Because that's what has to happen on site, right?
That's right. And implementing a practical LOTO procedure involves clear steps on how to make it effective. First, you can start off by, you create a written program outlining the LOTO procedures, including detailed instructions for each step. Customize it for your specific equipment and energy sources. Train all employees on LOTO procedures. This includes how to identify energy sources, apply lockout devices, and verify isolation. Ensure both authorized, those performing LOTO, and affected employees, those working near the procedures, understand their roles. Ensure that employees have the necessary lockout devices, such as padlocks, tags, energy isolating devices, and that each device is durable and designed for industrial environments. Keep detailed records of all LOTO activities. So document each step, including who performed the lockout, the time, the specific procedures used. Then audit the LOTO procedures regularly. This is to ensure compliance. Update the program as needed, based on audit findings and changes in equipment or energy sources. Finally, continuous improvement. Encourage employee feedback to identify potential improvements in the LOTO procedures. everything needs to be documented in the company's lotto policy. And this policy describes responsibilities, in-house procedures, deadlines for conducting training, groups of different employees, audit processes, procedures for opening locks by third parties, and how to handle shift changes.
So again, it's quite a big task. Who would be responsible for developing this lockout tagout procedure?
Yes, and creating lockout tagout procedures is a team effort. The safety manager leads, ensuring compliance with safety regulations. Maintenance supervisors and engineers provide expertise on equipment and energy sources. Then you have the operations managers. They balance safety with production needs, while HR handles training and record keeping. Employees give practical feedback to make procedures user-friendly. And sometimes external consultants are brought in for expert advice, but together they create a practical Lotto program. And this program resulting from their collective effort is not just a set of rules, but a powerful tool that keeps everyone safe during maintenance and repairs.
Yeah, that's some really awesome insight. And I mean, it's a team effort. At the end of the day, we're keeping everybody in the system safe by understanding what the procedure is. Is there a specific competence linked to this lockout tagout procedures and developing it?
Yes, competency in Lotto requires an understanding of regulations such as OSHA and local standards, including the correct sequence of actions like shutting down the equipment, isolating energy sources, and so on. The competent person needs to understand identifying energy sources using Lotto tools such as the padlocks, the devices, the husks, the tags, and communicating effectively. The coordination with other workers is essential, especially in situations where multiple technicians or maintenance workers are involved. And understanding what to do in case of an emergency or if a Lotto device needs to be removed by someone other than the person who applied it is crucial for the team's success. Now, these competencies are not just about following procedures. They're about ensuring your safety and the safety of your colleagues. They enable you to perform Lotto procedures safely and effectively, minimizing the risk of accidental energy release. And this confidence in your abilities is key to preventing injuries or fatalities.
Is there a competence linked to the user?
Yeah, effective Lotto procedures depend on user competence, including knowledge of energy sources, technical skills, and attention to detail. Now, in South Africa, training is meticulously aligned with OSHA, emphasizing on local regulations and industry-specific needs, often incorporating local languages. This alignment provides a sense of security and compliance.
And what about in the UAE? How do you guys experience it?
And the UAE training caters to a diverse multicultural workforce and aligns with global standards due to the presence of international companies. But both regions prioritize comprehensive procedural understanding, clear communication, and problem-solving abilities to ensure safety. But despite regional differences, the core goal remains to ensure all workers can safely implement local procedures.
For sure, because the energy doesn't discriminate. It doesn't care if it's in UAE or in South Africa. If I go through the Brady catalog, there's a lot of equipment in there. There's thousands of different locks. Let's try and make it as simple as we can for the audience when they're identifying what is critical. Can you explain what the different options are within each basically option that they can select from? I'll run through quickly. There's seven different factors to consider, if I can say that, when just selecting a lock. And that could be the material of the body of the lock. It could be the size of the body. It could be the material of the shackle. It could be the size and the shape of the shackle. It could be the locking mechanism, the amount of key styles that it has on offer. And then the obvious one is the colors. How do we make this simple for people?
Right. Well, choosing the right lock involves several key factors. The body material, as you rightly said, steel, aluminium, plastic, is chosen based on durability and environment. For example, if it's for electrical applications, a marine environment, or a flammable area. Now, the body size varies for different spaces, with smaller locks for tight areas and larger ones for visibility. The shackle material, steel, stainless steel, nylon, depends on strength and environmental resistance. But it's not just the material that matters. The size and the shape of the shackle ensure the lock fits appropriately, a crucial factor in lock selection. Now, locking mechanisms include key alike, key different, and combination locks for varying security needs. The key styles help control the access levels. And then the colors help with the identification and organization of groups. You can assign the maintenance team the red color, while contractors have white and the electrical department has yellow. But you can, I mean, they can be assigned to different groups.
And that's important. I mean, there are two different categories of users. We've got the employee, and the second one is the contractor.
Right. To manage local procedures effectively, it's important to distinguish the employees and contractors specific, are often more familiar with the workplace, and its safety protocols are expected to have a deep understanding of local procedures. Continuous training and regular competency evaluations help maintain a high standard of safety knowledge among employees. Now, contractors who might be less familiar with the specific workplace require clear communication and guidance on local procedures particular to the site. They must be trained to identify energy sources and apply local devices correctly. However, contractors often rely on the host company safety officers or supervisors to provide clear instructions. It's important to remember that safety is not just an individual responsibility, but a shared one.
Yeah, 100%. And how would the employee know which lock they should be using?
Employees know which lock to use through proper training and clear standard operating procedures. During their training, they learn about the different types of locks and their specific uses for various energy sources and equipment. Color coding also plays a significant role depending on the department. By following these guidelines and using color-coded locks, employees can quickly identify and choose the appropriate lock for each task.
Okay, and when it comes to the contractor, how would they know?
Contractors, when they start a job, they receive specific training on the company's local procedures. The company provides detailed instructions and possibly even a dedicated local coordinator to guide contractors. They also rely on color-coded locks and standardized tags that indicate the type of energy source and lookout point. And this combination of training, clear instructions, visual aids ensure that contractors can confidently and correctly choose the right lock for each task, maintaining safety and compliance.
Cool. That makes sense. So yeah, like you've said, it's a full team effort, whether it's an employee or whether it's a contractor. Everybody needs to be looking out for them, each other, because, I mean, ultimately they can impact one another. In the lockout tagout space, is there any misinformation or myths that you've ever experienced or heard which you think need to be addressed?
Yes, I've heard quite a few. I'll give you some examples. A machine that is off is safe. Simply by turning off a machine does not ensure its safety. Residual or stored energy can still be present and it could be released accidentally, causing injury. So lockout procedures ensure that all energy sources are isolated and any stored energy is released. Another myth, only maintenance personnel need to know about lockout. And while maintenance personnel are directly involved in applying lockout, all employees should know lockout procedures. This includes understanding the purpose of locks and tags and knowing that they should never attempt to remove them. Awareness prevents accidental tampering and promotes overall workplace safety. One more myth, lockout takes too much time and it's not necessary. Some workers consider lockout procedures time-consuming and unnecessary, especially under production pressure. However, skipping or rushing, cutting corners through lockout can lead to severe injuries or fatalities. So addressing these myths and communicating them is key to dispelling these misconceptions.
Fully agree. And Farah, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your insights. This is one of the spaces that you're obviously very competent and comfortable with. I know you've given us plenty training and information through the years. So I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and insights. I think if there is any people that are currently struggling with lockout tagout, I think you've given a few very good points that can assist them in making sure they keep their team safe.
Oh, thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us, and I hope this episode added value to you. If you are experiencing any safety challenges on your sites and require any additional information, please do leave us a message on LinkedIn via Protector Safety Gear's page, or alternatively follow the link below and share a message with us, because maybe it can create value or valuable conversation for future episodes. Be sure to also follow us on LinkedIn. There will be some valuable information shared from today's discussion.